Have we got any kids in the house? Got any kids? Come on down the front. Excellent. Excellent. Come on, kids. Okay, kids, how you doing? How many geniuses have I got in the house today? Any geniuses? All right. Now, last week we had someone very clever here, and he's been teaching me some tricks. You ready? See some amazing... I haven't got my amazing shirt on, so I don't know if I'll be able to pull these off. Okay, so... He showed me this one. You remember this one from last week? Finger. Everyone, see that's a finger, Ollie? Is that the finger?
Yeah.
Yep. You want to touch it to make sure it's real? Is that real? Ow!
Yeah, that's real.
All right, one finger, one open hand. I put it in there. All right. Tap it 3 times. It's gone. Oh, no. Huh? How good is that? Ollie? It's gone.
That's easy.
Okay, not impressed. All right. What about the illusionist one? Wasn't his illusionist one really good? So you got one finger that way, but if you do it quickly, you got 2 fingers that way.
Wow.
Oh, look at that. That's cool. Whoa. Did you see that? Oh, you got it. You know that trick too. What about this one, Ollie? You ready for this one? This is a really good one. You ready? You got 1 finger on that one? Watch, it's going to jump from that hand to that hand. Ready? Look at that.
Oh. That's easy. I can do that.
You can do that one? Whoa. Oh, very good. What about this one? Back. Oh, look too. Oh, very good. Geniuses, ladies and gentlemen. Very good. I've been practicing some of these ones. Okay. All right. Look carefully at this. Do you see that drawing?
Yes. It's a drawing of a house.
It's a drawing of a house. Okay. That drawing, though, was done with this pen without taking it off the whiteboard.
No, I can do that.
You can do that? You know this trick? Okay, no, you can't go first. You can go third or fourth, all right? And without taking it off and without crossing, you see it's nice and neat. It's not messed up. It's not like this where you, oops, and oop. You know, it's not like that. It's just straight.
I can do that.
Anyone have a go at it?
Yes.
No, Ollie. You know how to do it? Okay, sit down. No. I want someone who doesn't know how to do it, that's thinking about it. Never heard it said before like that, have you?
Please,
all right. No. Look, you're a guest today, aren't you? You're visiting. You're with Grandma and Granddad, Ma and Pa. What do you say? What do you call them? Hey, you?
Grandpa.
Gran and Granddad. Okay, so come on up. You're a guest. You can come up.
Yeah.
It's all right. Okay. All right. Ready, set, go. Uh-oh. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. No, you've gone back. You've gone back. No. See that double line? Oh, bad luck. So close. Give him a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Very good. See, it's not as easy as you think, is it?
Please have a go.
Oh, Ollie, yes. Come on. The persistence. All right. You ready, Ollie? Here we go. Oh, no, you're in trouble. Oh, big trouble. Oh, double line. Good try, Ollie. Good try. See, maybe I am amazing.
Yes.
You want to have a go?
Yeah.
Are you visiting too?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Welcome along. Oh, is that your sister you just fell on? Oh, you got ice cream already. You gonna go, you know where that ice cream place is? It's up at the Kiwanis Shopping Centre, out near the movies place. All right. When you get it, just say Donnie sent you. All right. I get lots of ice creams there. All right. Here we go. Ooh. Ah. Bow. All right. Getting close. No. Come on. Up you come. Last one, ladies and gentlemen, because we want to get home before midday. All right. Oh, all right, okay. You ready? I'm going to show you how it can be done, all right? Yeah, now the pressure's on.
So simple.
Oh, yeah, always simple, Ollie. So you start down the bottom, come up, go across, do that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry?
How'd you do that?
Oh, it's very easy.
That's not.
Everything has a beginning and it has an end. You just got to find out how to get there. Sometimes you do have to double back, but it's better when you've got the plan worked out and you only have to do it once. There's a message for you. You like that? Yeah, it ties in well, huh? I did some work this week. All right, let me pray for you kids. Thank you very much. Father God, we thank you. Father God, we thank you for our kids. We pray, Lord God, that you watch over them. And Lord, we pray that 2019 would be a really, really good year for them too. May they have birthdays. May they celebrate Christmas. May they have lots of fun. May they enjoy fellowship and relationships in your name. And all the kids said, amen. Practice that when you get home. See how you go. And Bonnie has some handouts, some dot the dots and other things, word searches, if you'd like to do some of them during the service today. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, as we stop and be continuing to reflect, Father, 2018 is coming to a close and 2019 is about to start. And as much as in many ways they are just numbers and one day flows into the other, it does give us the opportunity, Father, to stop, to reflect, to think, and maybe put a couple of things in place for the year that's coming. I pray, Lord God, as we open your word, that you will speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and you will indeed speak to us individually and even corporately about a way for us to step forward in 2019. There are many things that will be happening in 2019, Lord, and we're excited by many of them. Some we have no clue of what's going to be right around the corner. And there may be surprises and there may be shocks. But Father, we want to walk into that year holding on to your hand, knowing that you are with us, that you've never left us nor forsake us. And that's a good place to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, 2018, it's come and it's about to end very, very soon. For some of us, putting things into boxes is easy. I love putting things in boxes. I love boxes. If I have a drawer, I'll have boxes inside the drawer so I can put things in and find it easy. If you have a look at my library, you'll see my Bryce Courtney, my John Grisham, and my commentaries are all in order. All right? Literally, you can have a look at the Bryce Courtney one and find out the first one he's written is there and then the last one he's written at the end. It's just what I like to do. I like putting things in order, in boxes. And that's good for me because when I'm focused on something, I can be just looking at that. A little bit tunnel visioned, you might say, yes, but at least it gets my full attention. It drives my girls crazy because they can do more than one thing at a time. I can't. If I'm watching the cricket, they can be telling me the most important thing in the world and I won't hear them because I'm watching the cricket. It's just one thing at a time. Boxes is where it works. And for me, it's just easy. Some of us will be going, okay, yeah, I can do that. There's been things this year that I'm just going to put in the box, wrap it up and put it away and never have to worry about it ever again. Until one day when you're cleaning out your thought processes and you open that box and it hits you and you've never dealt with it. There's an opportunity for us coming up to the end of this year for us to deal with stuff, to leave it behind so that our past does not impact our future, that we get to live in the power of what God has for us. And not that those fingers from the shadows come back and say, ah, gotcha. I'm not letting you go. For me, 2018 has been a tough year. It's been a year that has brought a number of challenges, both personally and work-wise. And I've been really enjoying this week reflecting a little bit about that and talking with my wife on how we're doing on certain things. The brutal answer is there's some things I'm doing well on and other things not so well. So a lot of the things that I'll share with you today will be things that I personally will be putting into place for 2019. So if no one else gets anything out of this sermon, I will walk out of here with three things that will impact my life next year. And if that's all about me, then I apologise. But hopefully there'll be things out of this that will impact your life as well. We're going to look at three amazing sections of God's Word. Four or five if you join some of the junctions together. The first one is Psalm 150. So if you have your Bibles there, Psalm 150. Now we've heard it earlier today. It's a great psalm. And if you want to grab five psalms to start off the year or six, start at about 145 and read through to 150. And those psalms will just get you off on the right foot for 2019. But Psalm 150, I want you to listen to it as I read through it again And then I'm going to ask you one question. All right, you ready? One question at the end of reading this through, and let's see how you go. Ready? Let's go. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for the acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and the dancing. Praise Him with the strings and the flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a good psalm. There's nothing that gets missed, is there? I've written down these things. There is everywhere. That psalm covers everywhere. Where can you praise God? Everywhere. Praise Him in His heavens. Praise Him on earth. Praise Him everywhere. Praise Him, what for? Praise Him for His power. Praise Him for His presence. Praise Him for His word. And it shows us the ways that we can praise Him. We can praise God so many ways. It's not just the simple thing that we get used to on a Sunday morning. It's not just the beautiful bass and the guitar that gifted men and women can play and lead us. It's not just the ability to come up here and to grab hold of these beautiful, beautiful drums and hit the cymbals. It's not just about doing that, or which is the really high one, Hayden? There are sounding cymbals and everything. It's all about praising God. It's letting it break through into the very part of your life where you're resounding and it breaks through. If I had a trumpet, I'd have a crack at that, but that would be embarrassing, I think. It's more embarrassing than that. That psalm has one important part. Anyone pick it? Yeah, well, praise is there, yes. I want more information. Praise Him. Yeah, I gave you those points. I want something new. Something new that I haven't said.
Joyfully.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Very good. You are a genius. Thank you. It starts with praise the Lord and it ends with... Didn't you sing a song today, 10,000 Reasons? When I get up first thing in the morning, I want to praise the Lord. And when I go to bed at night, I want to praise the Lord. That's my first point for you. It's an easy one. In everything that you do, at the beginning and the end, praise the Lord. First thing you get up in the morning, praise the Lord. And when you go to bed, praise the Lord. When you go into situations, praise the Lord. We don't say that word as much as like we did back in the 80s and 90s. Remember back then, something would happen, you'd hear someone say, praise the Lord! You know? Yeah, hallelujah! Yeah. You'd hear the words jumping out. And, you know, preacher would say something good and someone would go, hallelujah, preacher! You preach it, Donnie! Mostly when I get it, people go, help him, Lord, help him. Intercede on my behalf. But praise the Lord. Let's praise God together. We have so much to praise the Lord for. Each and every one of us gets a birthday. That's something to praise God for because you get to celebrate it with family. You get to have enjoyment around that. Some of us may not like the numbers that it comes with, but it's only numbers. It shows that you've had more fun and enjoyment on celebrating your birthday. We need to become like children in those sort of things. We can all praise God for so many events in and through the year that give us the time to celebrate. Lots of times to celebrate. And I think, you know, some of the most amazing things that we can praise the Lord for are the simplistic things that we forget the most about. I want you to put up your hand right now if you have a pair of shoes on your feet. Okay, let's do the other way around. If you don't have a pair of shoes on your feet, raise your hand. Yeah, okay, there's a couple. Very good. Okay. Oh, Lindsay, really? No shoes? Thongs. Oh, I call them shoes. Yeah. They're main shoes we wear on the coast. I felt weird wearing them out last night, but I felt good. The reality is, if we own a pair of shoes, we're in an incredibly small percentage of the world who owns a pair of shoes. Now, I can guarantee we own more than one pair of shoes, amen? We own lots of pair of shoes. Do you want a scary photo challenge this week? Grab all your shoes in your cupboards, put them out in a line, take a photo and put them on Facebook and say, yep, I am rich. I have lots of shoes. See how you go with that one. There's a guy in the United States that's starting 2019 by not wearing shoes for a week because he's realized that there are thousands and thousands of millions of people out there in the real world who don't own one pair of shoes. And so he wants to say, yes, praise the Lord for a pair of shoes. Praise the Lord for a roof over our head. Praise the Lord for good drinking water. Praise the Lord that we have a job. I've got a friend who's starting January 1 for the first time in 15 years without a job. You might go to work saying, oh, I hate it. Praise God, I've got a job. There's other people out there looking for work. There is so much that we can praise the Lord for. Amen? And we should have that better praise attitude all the way through. Like they say, the attitude of gratitude. Let it flow through. So in 2019, let's start the year by praise the Lord at the beginning and praise the Lord at the end. Now, the second one I've got for us is a little bit of an interesting one, in as much as it takes from Genesis chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. Now, we all know Genesis chapter 1 is the start of our Bible, correct? All right, so it says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. All right? Cross over with me like we did at Christmas to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Now the Word is Jesus. And so where was Jesus at the beginning? He was with God. So if we're going to talk about beginnings and endings in everything we do, we need to begin with Jesus. Jesus has to be at the forefront of everything we do. What we're about, how we act, how we react, how we plan, how we strategize. Jesus has to be in the center of it. There's lots of stuff in our world today through social media, through the politics and everything that's going around that we can think, oh, we've got to think this way, we've got to think that way. No, no, you just got to think Jesus way. You know that old saying, what would Jesus do? It was huge. You had bands, you had stickers and everything, and you gave it to teenagers. We did. I was a youth pastor at the time, and we had like 70, 80 young people wearing that. What would Jesus do? I think I even wore one too. It was a red one for the Lovelies family, just in case you thought it was a blue one. And it was a simplistic thing of what would Jesus do? And when you get into situations, what would Jesus do is a great way to think about that. You may not have a good answer on what would Jesus do because some of us don't understand what would Jesus do in that perspective. But I tell you what, there's a lot of things that would help us to do it better than we'd probably do it if we do it with what Donnie would do. So John talks about Jesus at the beginning, Genesis at the beginning. Now we're going to jump right to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Now, I'm on track for getting through the Bible in a year. And I've got one day to go. Some of you might be sitting there saying, no, Donnie, you've got 2 days to go. Today's only the 30th. You've got today and tomorrow. Well, I cheated during the week. I jumped forward to December 31 on my app and I read what happens at the end of the book. I know. And some of you may be surprised that Jesus is at the beginning, but guess what? Jesus is at the end too. If you've got Revelation chapter 22 and you read at from verse... Hold on, let me just check my notes. Okay, here we go. Reading from verse 13, I was right. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So he's backing up what I'm preaching today. He is there, right at the very beginning and right at the very end. And for us, it's important for us to start with Jesus and to end with Jesus. And if you go to chapter 22, verses 20, and it says this, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. So come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. What's the wording? Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Are we ready? Are we ready for Jesus' return? Are we living in a way that would make verse 17 make sense, where it says the Spirit and the bride is the church. The Spirit and the church say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come and take of the gift, the free gift of the water of life. I pray that in 2019, we as the church will say, come to our community. We will say, come if you are thirsty and have something to drink. Come if you are hungry and get something to eat, for Jesus is the bread of life. Come to the Father. So in 2019, start and end with Jesus. How would Jesus want us to live? How would he want us to do things? How would he want us to spend our money? How would he want us to do about stuff? It's quite interesting, putting it in that perspective. I'm now going to go to another book in the Bible, but I want to ask you a question. If you were to say, what was the last historical book in the Old Testament, what book would you say? The last historical book. Or if you want to grab the Old Testament and put it in a chronological order, which would be the last? You know this one, Hayden?
Yeah, on holidays.
My kids used to say that all the time when they were at school. I'm on holidays. My brain doesn't work. I don't know where the fridge is and I don't know where to do washing up. It just doesn't work. All right, let me put you out of your pain and suffering, because some of you are saying, I want to say the answer, but I'm not sure. I wasn't aware of this, and I obviously must have dozed during Old Testament studies when I was at Bible college, because this week was news to me that this book is the last historical. We all know the last prophetic book in the Old Testament is, of course, Malachi, or for those that speak Italian, Malachi. Okay. Malachi is the last prophetic book in the Bible. That's why it is the last book in the Old Testament. Sorry, in the Old Testament. But Nehemiah is the last of the historical books. Is that right, Hayden?
Yep,
very good. That brain ticked in. I love it. Good stuff. Nehemiah is the last one. And Nehemiah is an interesting book. Just reading through it again, I know we've preached on it from the pulpit here, but just going over it again in the last week has just been frying my brain a little bit. Nehemiah, he's a tough bloke, isn't he? He'd be a tough bloke to work under. He is black and white, isn't he? There is no shade of grey in Nehemiah. If he says this is the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. But why is he that way? Why is he so passionate? Why is his heart so, this is the way it's got to be? Come on, people of Israel. Trying to shake them out of their lethargy. Shake them. I wonder what Nehemiah would say to Australian church today. I don't think he'd be real complimentary. I think he'd stick it to us in a big way. Because the beginning of Nehemiah chapter 1, and Nehemiah hears about what's going on. And when he heard these things, he sat down and he wept. He wept. Now that's a good start. But for how long did he weep? It goes on. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God in heaven. And that's big, isn't it? He's fasting, he's praying, he's quiet. He's weeping over what he's heard about his nation, his people, God's people. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone comes to me and gives me some really bad news, the last thing I'm thinking about is weeping. The last thing I'm thinking about is fasting and praying. The first thing I do is I just jump into Donnie mode and I start giving them answers. I start speaking, you know. One of the ladies I got to visit in hospital just before Christmas, she passed away just after Christmas, and her funeral will be on the 14th of January. And when the family rang me up and talked to me and said, thank you very much for coming, instead of stopping and just saying farewell to a lady, I went straight into the professional, okay, with your funeral we can do this, this and this, and we can look at this, and this is the way it does, and by the way, there's no charge, so you don't need to worry about that. Just straight into it. Out comes the stuff. Nehemiah doesn't do that. He stops for a number of days, and then he says, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear, the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night. For your servants, the people of Israel, confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you, and we have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses. That's how he starts his prayer. He starts his prayer in confession, but out of love and reverence for God. If we started each day with love and reverence to God, that passion, that desire deep within us, I'm going to be obedient to your word on my life. You are the Holy One of Israel. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise be to your name. I'm going to be obedient to your call on my life. And that's how he starts. And if you go through the book of Nehemiah, he keeps that passion bubbling away right through to the end, chapter 13. And if you go through, he gets the people of Israel to do some pretty hardcore things. He gets them to stand out in the open without food and water as the book of the law is read out aloud. And they repent and they confess their sins. And then he gets called back to Babylon for a period of time. And while he's away, the people of Israel very quickly go back into doing things the wrong way again. And one of the priests puts this guy who's unclean into the temple because he's a good admin person to do the accounts. And when Nehemiah comes back, I'm paraphrasing that into English, all right? When Nehemiah comes back, he sees this guy is in there and he gets really cranky and he grabs him and says, he's got to be out of here. He's defiling the holy temple of God. No, that's not the way it's meant to be. You've got this wrong, Mr. Priest. He names the priest, but... And he goes, no. Out. This is God's holy temple. He's passionate about it. And then in chapter 13, he says these words. Remember me for this also, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. And so even in amongst all this, Nehemiah is saying, God, in and amongst all this, it's about your great love upon us that we respond in this way. Remember what I'm doing because of your great love. So the last point, three points. First one being praise the Lord. The second one, Jesus. The last one being the love of God. The passion for God. That desire for God more than anything else. So my prayer for us in 2019 is that in all things we will praise the Lord, no matter what. And there's some curveballs that come, and I'm sure you could list off a whole bunch of ones that you're going, really? I don't know about that. And I could probably sit down with you and we could have our own little pity party and navel gaze for a little bit. But in amongst it all, we've got to praise God. Praise the Lord for what he's doing in and through us. And there is so much to be thankful for. We are in such a great place to live. And we've got such good family and friends around us. The next one is Jesus. To start with Jesus in everything we do. I know that's simplistic because we're supposed to be Christians and yet we should be doing that, but I think sometimes it's easy for us to forget that Jesus has to be that number one priority. And the last one is that love for God, that passionate love for God, so much so that the sin in our life, just we get rid of it because it's just not meant to be there. It does not belong in this holy temple of the Lord God Almighty. And we just get rid of it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for those incredible books that one, Psalms, just finishes with a whole praise of you, a whole 150 chapters, and it finishes with praise to you. And even the author of that psalm starts with praise the Lord and finishes with praise the Lord. That's just a beautiful piece of symmetry. I love it. And even with Jesus, Lord, start at the beginning with Genesis and John in the middle and then the book of Revelation that Jesus is coming again. But he even says there in verse 13 that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Lord God, may we get who you are. Lord Jesus, may we know that you're the Alpha and the Omega, that you are working in and through us. And Father, may we have that love for you, and may we know the love that you have for us, like Nehemiah. May we be passionate. May we have that desire to lift up your name and to see your name praised and glorified across our nation. Lord, may we know your love, and may our love for you grow louder and louder every day. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. Thank you very much.